All right, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 4. While everybody's finding that, in case you don't know where it said, it's the first book of the Bible. But while you're looking for it, I guess I'll just make a couple of announcements as far as what's going on in Caswell. Just keep it in prayer. It's definitely a work. We don't know what the Lord has in store. We're just trying to follow His leading and see what He's got. And we're looking forward to whatever He is desiring for us to do. Right now we're doing a Bible study. We're probably pushing around 40 or so people. That's including all the kids, teenagers, and everybody else. So don't say, wow, 40 adults. It's not like that. It's just all of the families together. So we're learning each other's behaviors, what makes us tick, how we can get along with each other, working out differences, going through different struggles with each other. So it is a growth process, but we're enjoying it so far. I'm sure it'll get better. It may even get worse, but we're willing to stick in it and see what happens. So that's our update for Caswell County. Just keep us in prayer. We're looking for a place to meet at. Right now we're meeting in each other's homes, mainly Neil's. And unless we knock down some walls, we're not going to have too much room. So it's either knock down a wall, we might have to get Dave to do some engineering on that, or we find a location somewhere. So just keep that in prayer. So tonight we're going to look at Genesis chapter 4. And I've been going verse by verse pretty much through the book of Genesis. But I've hit a little phrase within this chapter right here that I want to deal with. So we're going to springboard off of one verse. Normally I don't like to do that. Topical is one thing, but I don't really like to springboard off of a verse. But I'm going to do it tonight. So just bear with me. We're going to be starting with verse 15. Just reading that section, and then we'll get into our topic for tonight. So verse 15, the background is that Cain has killed his brother, and now God's giving him a curse. He's telling him what he's done wrong. He's giving him ample time to repent, which Cain never did. So now God's giving him a curse. And the curse is basically you're going to be cast out from God's presence. You're going to be cast out from everybody else. You're going to have to worry about somebody killing you all the time. And Cain says, well, this is too much. I can't handle this. So God, in his mercy, he does something for him in verse 15. So he talks about the vengeance coming on him sevenfold if somebody kills Cain. And then it says, and the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. So this is what we're going to springboard off of, which is the Lord set a mark on Cain. And the immediate thing that came into my mind was, what was the mark? So I go on Google and I type it in, what was the mark, just to see what the World Wide Web has to say. And does anybody have a guess of the number one thing that popped up? Can't believe y'all don't know that. The number one thing that popped up, at least from what I could tell, was skin color. That's where black people came from. So immediately a topic came into my mind, where did the races come from? So that's what we're going to deal with tonight. Probably won't be using my Bible too much. I got it all in my notes that I'm going to be reading from. So one thing that we are clear of is the mark was visible. It was prominent. It was easily detected. Now we're going to look at what the mark was, or possibly what it was. The question is tonight, where did the different races come from? This is something that I'm passionate about. And you think, well, that's because he's got black people in his family. Well, that's true. But it's also, I've seen what happens when you start looking at skin color and the devastation that happens with that. So where did the different races come from? The first answer that most people know of is what evolution teaches. So we're going to deal with that a little bit. Basically, it says over billions of years of survival of the fittest, macroevolution, which means you're going from one kind to another during this process, human beings evolved from ape-like creatures. For some time, it was believed that the darker-skinned peoples were lower on the evolutionary chain and thus not human, not worthy of the same treatment. This is some history. This is documented fact right here. The brains and skulls of aboriginals from Australia were taken and studied as assumed missing links to the human genetic line. Pygmy Africans were put on display in American and European zoos, again, because people thought they were some kind of ape-like creature, somewhere in the missing link process. Evolution gives justification for every evil that mankind can come up with. We're looking at infanticide right now, abortion, and we see how prominent that is in America. Eugenics, racism, are all ways in which evolution can be advanced through selection, whether natural or human. One prominent book within our history is called On the Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection by Charles Darwin. Does anybody know the rest of the title of that book? On the Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection was the main topic for that first book that he wrote, but he had a subtitle up under it. Okay. It says, Or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. That was the complete title of his book, and this is how he got his evolutionary process going. A little bit more history. In 1925, a big trial went on. Does anybody know the name of the trial? The Scopes Monkey Trial is what it was called. So I'll give you a little bit of history on that. Racism was already being taught in the public schools even before 1925. I wasn't born then, so I couldn't verify it unless I read somebody else's notes. So in America, in a very obvious way, through the biology textbooks in Dayton, Tennessee, which is where the trial went on, where the Scopes trial took place, The Races of Man, which is a biology book, at the present time, there exist upon the earth five races, the highest type of all, the Caucasians. What's another word for Caucasian? I'm asking y'all a bunch of questions tonight, so just hold on. Represented by the civilized white inhabitants of Europe and America. By 1925, multitudes of students in America were being taught that the Caucasians were the highest race. 1925, you still got the Bible in school, you still got prayer in school. And yet that's what was being taught in most of the public schools back then. Today, evolution is taught in every taxpayer-funded public education institution in America. It is the only origins belief system promoted in the natural science centers and in our public-funded PBS station. That's all you're going to hear about is evolutionary origins. History Channel here lately, that's all they've been promoting is human beings came from ape-like creatures through billions of years of evolution. Every child for the last 70 or so years in America has been taught that they are nothing but animals evolving. And while they go through this process, they should express themselves, their inner animal instincts, thus the rise in homosexual relationships, out of wedlock childbirth, abortion, disregard for elderly, lack of morality, etc. So now the question is, does evolution cause sin? No, but it's a justification for that human depraved nature that we already have. If you tell somebody they're nothing but an animal, they're going to act like an animal. If you tell somebody that they've evolved over billions of years of chance, then that's what they're going to act like. And we wonder why our society is so corrupt. It's because evolution has just come in. It's given somebody something to grab a hold to besides an eternal God that they're accountable to. So evolution has definitely affected our society, but it did not cause sin. It just justifies what a lot of people do. So we see what evolution, what type of answer that gives us as far as where did the races come from. Well, what about some so-called Christian organizations? Let's look at a couple of them. In Mormonism, and I brought their new revelation, another New Testament. So I'm going to quote some of the verses from the Book of Mormon. And then I'm going to quote one of the prophets and what he said. So in Alma 3:6, which is one of their books in the Book of Mormon, And the skins of the Lamanites were dark, according to the mark which was set upon their fathers, which was a curse upon them because of their transgression and their rebellion. And it goes on in that whole chapter talking about the Lamanites. And I'm not quite sure who they were talking about. I know it was people over in America. And basically their curse was dark skin because they rebelled against their God. I'm not going to say that's the creator God. So in 1958, an apostle of the Mormons during a council declared, We know that the circumstances under which the posterity of Cain and later of Ham were cursed with what we call negroid racial characteristics. So this is within the Mormon teaching itself. going by some of their apostles, and now one of the prophets, Brigham Young, all of you have probably heard about him. There's a school out west that's named after him, and this is what he says. That he said that blacks would never hold priesthood in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and this is one of their major prophets, and he's talking about that. Jehovah's Witnesses, everybody knows them. They're going to come to your door at some point, regardless of where you live at, how far you live out in the woods, they're still going to get you. It doesn't matter. They're going to find you. So in 1929, the Jehovah's Witnesses said, the curse that Noah pronounced upon Canaan was the origin of the black race. So again, this is their documented teaching. This actually came from the Watchtower Society, which is where they get all of their teachings from. So that's what was going on back then. I had a lady, two ladies come to my mom's house. I was cutting some trees down for her. And here they come pulling up, and you can immediately know who a Jehovah's Witness is. They just got that posture and that look. Well, one of them was a white lady, and one of them was a black lady. So they started talking. I immediately interrupted them and said, we just can't agree on anything because you're saying that Jesus Christ was a created being. I'm saying that he is the creator. So we went on back and forth on that. Then I looked at the black lady and I said, did you know that the Jehovah's Witnesses used to not allow black people inside of their church? And the white lady immediately spoke up. He's wrong. He's absolutely wrong. Well, I got the proof right here. I didn't have a computer in my hand. I told the lady, I said, I wish I had my computer so I could open it up and show them the truthfulness of this. If it's wrong, admit it's wrong, move on. Say, hey, we got a new revelation. We were wrong back then. Mistakes happen. But if you don't admit it, then you're basically lying to everybody. So that's the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. Let's look at another one. Actually, two more. There's a lot of them out there. I can't name them all. Worldwide Church of God believes in a teaching like that. What's his name? Andrew Murray, which is Shepherd's Chapel. He believes in a weird doctrine like that. But two of them that are well known in America, which is the KKK, Ku Klux Klan, everything that they talk about is about a white superior race. And what it goes from Adam to Noah to Israel, and they believe that Israel is the white race. So that's what they talk about. The doctrinal statement for both of these groups, one of them is the Kingdom Identity Movement. One day I was typing into the internet again. Kids, be careful what you type in because you don't know what you're going to pull up. So I typed in Christian Identity, which is a biblical teaching, who I am in Christ. And they pulled up this website for this group right here. And I was like, something ain't right about this. So it can also be known as the Christian Identity Movement or the Kingdom Identity Movement. Basically, all it is just a new brand on the Ku Klux Klan. That's all it is. So both of them's doctrinal statement ends with, we believe that the man Adam is the father of the white race only. So they're very specific in what they're teaching. It's a hate group. Not to leave out the black groups. Black Panthers, hate group. Nation of Islam, hate group, based on skin color. Now, a lot of people will say that the Black Panthers and the Nation of Islam is just a reaction to what they've been treated, how they've been treated. But still, it's a hate group based on skin color. All right, so we looked at evolution. We looked at the so-called Christian groups. Now let's look at the church and what the church has done over the history. At least in America, we're not going to go all the way back through the 2,000 years, but just in American society. Some of the things that were taught in the churches, not all churches, just making a general reference, not saying every single church. One of them was the curse on Cain equaled black people, the curse on Ham equaled black people, and some churches even used an evolutionary twist on things, which talked about pre-Adamic human-like creatures that eventually evolved and they died out and then humans were created. So none of these are biblical. We just read about the mark on Cain. Well, if what I'm saying is that it's not skin color, what was that mark? Nobody knows for certain. All we know is that it was a sign that people could look at and know that he was off limits. That's all we can say. We can be pretty certain that it wasn't black skin, and we'll get to that in a little bit based on what happened to Noah. So we'll look at that. Denominational splits over slavery and race. This is how we get the Southern Baptists and the American Baptists. Again, I'm not saying that the Southern Baptists are still racist, but that was one of the reasons why they split back then. You got the United Methodist or the regular Methodist, and then you got the AME. Does anybody know what AME stands for as far as Methodist? African Methodist Episcopal. They broke away from the Methodists because they wanted to have their own group. They felt like they were being mistreated by the white Methodists. So that's what happened. So is the church still segregated today? A lot of people would say yes. I live off of 150 going toward Caswell County. Well, actually, I live in Caswell County. I'm sorry. Sorry, Neil. I live in Caswell County. But on 150 going into Yanceyville, there's two churches on 150. They got the same exact name. There's only one difference in them. Can you take a guess at what the difference would be? One's black, one's white. On Cherry Grove Road, there's another, and that's a Baptist church. On Cherry Grove Road, coming to my house in Caswell County, there's a United Methodist church. Same name, two different buildings. What do you think would make them different from each other? Skin color. The only difference. United Methodist is United Methodist. Baptist, some of us can have a little bit of a twist on things. I said us, didn't I? I'm messing up tonight. Let's move on. Not to leave Rockingham County out, we'll look at Reesville. We got two churches, same name. First Baptist Church. One on Main Street, one on Hubbard Street. What's the difference in them? One black, one white. That's the only difference. Again, the core values that they believe is the same. Now, how they conduct their services, that's different too. But that's just like a cultural issue. That's not related to the big reason why they're split. It's based on skin color. So, Christianity, we have our own issues, especially in America, that we have to deal with. And we see the past. We've improved. Can we still improve? Absolutely, we can. So biblically, where did the races come from? You can open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 39. I've already got it, so I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Verse 39 says, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh." And then he's specific in making sure that we understand that it's talking about one kind. He says, one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, and he goes on and he talks about the rest of creation. But he separates man from the animals, which destroys evolution, and he groups mankind all together, regardless of the type of features that we have. So Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, makes this clear right here. Verse 45, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being." So this is the first man. We have to group everybody else within that one group. We all came from Adam. Genesis chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to make some references. Verse 26 and 27, and then chapter 2, verse 7 says that God made, created, and formed man in his image. And Acts 17:26, which is one of my favorite verses, it says, "And he, God," and then it talks about what he's done, "has made from one blood," some translations say man, means the same thing, "every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth." So again, it's specific. We're all from one man. We look different, but we're all from the same man. You'll notice that in these verses that I just read, there was no mention of an evolutionary journey and no mention of any pre-Adamic creatures. So Paul, God, through the Bible, makes sure that it's clear that evolution does not fit in the Word of God. I know I'm on my soapbox, but I want to make that clear. Evolution does not fit in the Word of God. We can try and make it, but if you take it in context, there's no room for evolution in the Word of God. So humans are of the same kind and all related through Adam, but what about the different skin colors and languages? So now we're going to look at this. Genesis chapter 6 through 9. I'm not going to read all of it, but it's an account about something catastrophic that took place on the earth. And everybody knows the story about Noah and the ark and this worldwide flood that destroyed the earth, changed the earth forever, changed the atmosphere, changed everything through that one event. This was even more catastrophic than what Adam and Eve did in the garden. This destroyed everything so that it was no longer ever the same again. Because of the wickedness of man, God sent judgment on the earth and all the inhabitants in the form of a worldwide flood. Genesis 9, verses 24 through 27. It talks about an event takes place where Noah pronounces a curse on Canaan, the son of Ham. So this takes care of what the Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching, and some of the churches were even teaching. There was no curse on Ham, there was a curse on Canaan. So Ham, you got to mark that off. That's not where black people came from, because it's not even in the scriptures. They already had it wrong. The curse was that Canaan would be a servant or a slave. There is no mention of skin color being a part of that curse. That's something that we put into the text. It's not something that we pull out of the text. Genesis chapter 10 gives us a genealogy of the human race after the judgment and after the flood. Verse 1 says, "Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth," which is the three sons. "And sons were born to them after the flood." Questions for my audience, so pay attention. How many people were on the ark and were saved from the destruction?
Eight people.
Okay. Who are we descended from? At least one of the three sons of Noah. So again, it groups us all together again. We look at Adam. He's our forefather. Noah and the worldwide flood destroys everything, but there's still a remnant of people left. He populates the world again. So here we go. We have to be related somehow through those three sons. Years later, another event takes place, again because of the wickedness of man. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 11. Verse 1 says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech." Verses 4 through 9, and I'm going to read those real quick. "And they said, come let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Now remember what God said. He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, spread out. They were contradicting what God had said. They were staying together, trying to build a name for themselves, trying to build a tower up to heaven. So they were disregarding God's word. Verse 5, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do would be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, however you want to pronounce it, because there the Lord confused the language of all the people. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth." So this is another event that is taking place because of the wickedness of man and the rebellion of man toward their Creator. So we learn a few facts concerning this event. The first one is one language had become several after this event. One group had become several, spread out, just like God wanted them to do to begin with. These groups are scattered across the earth as a part of God's mandate and judgment. One thing that you're going to find out is there's no mention of skin color again. That's something that we have to read into the text. It's not there. We answer the question regarding the origin of our languages and dialects with the event at Babel, but how do we answer the question of where all the skin colors came from? Verse 8 of chapter 11 of Genesis states that God scattered the people abroad from there over the face of all the earth. Just a little bit of scientific background. Scientists have determined that every person has pigmentation called melanin. Each one of us has that pigmentation. This pigmentation just doesn't have to deal with skin color. It also deals with hair color and eye color. That's why if you have a child and the child doesn't have the same eye color as you, doesn't mean that anything is going on that's got an issue. It just means that genetically that's what happened when those two people came together. Samantha's got like a hazel bluish color, grayish colored eye. I got hazel green eyes. Abby came out with blue eyes. Samantha's is a little bit dark brown hair. You can look at Abby's and you can look at mine. So you see the variety just in our family right there, just from the pigmentation, the melanin that we have. So melanin not only is a determining factor in that things, DNA is also a contributing factor. The fall of man is yet another contributing factor. We got to put the curse in there. Everything was perfect before Adam sinned. After Adam sinned, nothing's perfect anymore. That's why we have mutations. That's why we have people with no hair. That's why we have glasses. That's why we have to go to the dentist and get our teeth fixed. That's why we have to do all of these things that Adam and Eve didn't have to do. That's why I sweat so much. That's a part of the curse. Everything that we see now is just a hazy look at what Adam and Eve used to be. So with the confusion of language and the forced dispersal, people groups found themselves having to deal with harsh environments, learning to communicate with those they came in contact with, and finding a spouse to be fruitful and fill the earth. So in other words, within the original created kind, there was much genetic information for a wide range of variety within that kind. Then if we add in the curse of Genesis chapter 3, if we add in the dispersal at Babel, and then you end up with different eye color shape, hair color and texture, nose shape, lip shape, etc. So we see all of these things that are forming. I have a personal example. I know how we love to use personal illustrations. I'll use my family. Everybody knows my brother, right? You've seen him. He's pretty dark-skinned, especially in the summertime. He gets real dark. He's been confused for a mixed person and a Mexican. Growing up, he gets very dark. I get pretty dark, but not as dark as he does. Got the same parents. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hold on. How many of you have seen my sister? A few of you. The ones who have seen her, have you thought, is she really related to them? I know a lot of people who have thought that. I'll tell you why. My brother, he's pretty dark skinned, same parents. I can get a tan pretty easy. I don't really sunburn, same parents. My sister, she stays out in the sun too long, she's going to get burnt. She'll turn blood red. She's real light skinned. Same parents. This is after the fall. This is after the curse. This is just a unique instance right there of what God can do. So you got the two same parents. You got three siblings. All three of us look different. If you line us up, the skin color is different. Thomas has wavy, curly hair. I've got straight hair. My sister's got even curlier hair than that. I mean, a huge variety just in our family in Rockingham County. Just imagine the variety that they had back then before all the curses, all the mutations have occurred. I mean, they were still pretty close to Adam. They hadn't fallen as far as we have physically with all the mutations and the genetic defects that we have today. So if you can see all the variety just in my family, imagine all the variety that was already there within Adam and Eve and then Noah and his family and then the Tower of Babel. Some more scientific information. Let's take two people. Doesn't have to be different skin color, just two people. Scientifically, the difference between any two people, regardless of skin color, is 0.2% difference. That's nothing. Now let's get even deeper than that, the racial differences that we consider. And most of the time that's hair texture, eye shape, nose, lips, and skin color. Let's look at the difference in that. How does it, scientifically, does it really matter? Scientifically, it's 0.012% difference in our racial features. That's nothing. Nothing. So when we look at skin color, we're just looking at an outward feature of what God has done, but inwardly, we're still the same. Can we get a blood donation from me as a white person, get blood donation from a black person? As long as it matches. Mine and Samantha, I can't get her blood. She can get my blood, but I can't get her blood because it's different. It's just the uniqueness of what God has done. So scientifically, biblically, we already got the answer. Science just says, hey, the Bible's right. So that's what we're going to look at. It would be better said that we are different shades of the same color because we all have melanin. Some people just have more of it or less of it. So where did the different races come from? I still haven't answered that question, so we'll have to deal with it. The answer is, how many races are there? One human race. So that's the biblical answer. When we look at our society, and I was trying to look at our driver's license, and it's got on the driver's license race. Now, it doesn't have checked, you know, a W or anything else like it used to for some reason. I don't know what happened. But it's still got race on there. When you go and fill out an application, it asks you what race you are. I've gotten to where I put other, or I'll put something on there. I won't put white anymore. Just because biblically, that's not the way to answer those questions. Well, what race are you? Ray. Human race. That's what race I am. Physically from Adam, spiritually from Christ, the last Adam. So these are the answers that the church can be given. So Adam, through Noah and his sons, through the people groups scattered from Babel, we only have one human race. So now we're going to get to some, I guess you could call them controversial issues. Does the Bible teach against interracial marriage? Oh my goodness, I can't believe he said that. So we're going to deal with it. The reason why I want to deal with that, and I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to hurry up, is because in my past as a new believer, we were in a church, and I heard it at least three different times from the pulpit that it was a sin against God for blacks and whites to mix. Didn't say anything about Asian and white or anything like that. It was just those two groups to mix. So naturally, I'm not going to take their word for it. That's just the way I am. I went back to the scriptures and looked it up, and the Lord led me to a website. Can anybody guess what that website might have been? Answers in Genesis. And it had articles on it, and I went back to the Bible and made sure they was right, and they was dead on the money as far as where the races came from. So then I started looking more, and this is what I came up with. Does the Bible teach against interracial marriage? Yes, it does. Now we're going to answer the question. Exactly what is it talking about? One of the verses that pops up in my mind is, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" So then we can say, well, that's what it's saying. It is saying no interracial marriage, no interracial marriage. Now, what is it talking about? Well, if we're all from humans, we're all the human race, what is it talking about? What was Paul talking about? Well, he's talking about what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 3. You must be born again of the Spirit. Well, a born-again believer, which is what happens when we trust in Christ, we're born again, we're taken out of Adam, we're put into the last Adam, which is Christ. So Paul was saying, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's the key phrase right there, unbelievers. Believers stay with your kind, unbelievers stay with their kind. Well, what's going to happen if you mix the races? Most of the time, the believer ends up getting pulled down. That's why he's specific in saying, no mixing of the last Adam's race with the first Adam's race. That's the interracial marriage that God forbids. No Christian should seek out an unbeliever for a spouse. Teenagers, listen to that. Do not look for a spouse in an unbeliever. No matter how good they look, no matter how much money they got, no matter how prestigious their family is, whatever it is, make sure if you're a believer, you find a believer. So according to the Bible, which impending marriage would be a sin, or God would say not to do? A black Christian and a white Christian? A non-Christian white and a non-Christian white? A non-Christian white and a Christian white? Which one would God forbid? I was probably confusing on that. The answer would be the non-Christian and the Christian marriage, regardless of what the skin color is. So how does the church address racism? We're in the South, so is racism still an issue? It is. We don't want to say that, but it is. Even in our own hearts, I'm a Christian, I'm not racist. I guarantee you it runs through your mind. Regardless of how you were raised, how long you've been a Christian, that's what your human nature, led by Satan, wants to do. He wants to cause division, and it'll do it to the best of us. So how does the church deal with it? What we got to do is teach biblical truth. There is no reason biblically for a Christian to be a racist. I actually had a guy tell me that. He was a, quote, redneck, and we were talking one day. We're in the South. We know what a redneck is. And he told me, just out of the blue, there's no reason, there's no biblical reason for a person to be a racist. And then he admitted, I used to be a racist. Sometimes it still comes up in my mind. But at least he understood that biblically, there's no reason to be a racist. So some of the other things that I had, I'm just going to go through them quickly. Numbers chapter 12, we find Aaron and Miriam against Moses because of his Ethiopian or Cushite wife. Later in the chapter, the Lord comes down and he deals with Aaron and Miriam, not with Moses, for marrying the Cushite or the Ethiopian wife. Acts chapter 10, Peter receives a vision where unclean food comes down in this spread out feast. Peter says, I can't touch anything unclean. I can't eat it. And it was an illustration that God was using that a Gentile was coming to Peter, and Peter was to give that guy the gospel. The Jews back then thought that the Gentiles were an unclean people. So God was breaking the barrier, and he was telling them, there's no more division between Jew and Gentile in the church. It's the church. You got the Jew in the world, you got the Gentile in the world, but you got the church, which is regardless of what physical features. So we look beyond the outward appearance, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Our job as Christians is to be a witness to everyone, scattering the seed of the gospel so that everybody can hear it. For God so loved the world, that includes every skin color, nationality, language, whatever it may be. Society looks at the church, and for the most part, they see segregation based on skin tone in America. We would do well to heed the song sung in heaven. You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And this is every group up in heaven singing this. The church should resemble and reflect what's already taking place in heaven. I'll close with one of the lyrics from a song. DC Talk had a song a few years back. It says, where colored people were a part of the human race. And it goes on and it describes the different attributes as far as what the Bible talks about, how we can do things. We teach our children the Bible song, Jesus Loves Me, or Jesus Loves the Little Children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. We are the hands, we are the feet, we are the body of Christ. We should be reflecting what Jesus already sees. He sees everybody at the same level, standing on the equally. That's the way we should be doing it, the same way. We as believers have to do what we're called to do. So the question is, how do you look at different groups? How do I look at different groups? Whether it's language, whether it's skin color, whether it's a disability, whatever it may be, how do I look at them? Do I look at them as Christ sees them, or do I look at them in how the first Adam sees them, with corruption and with hatred in my heart? If when you see a mixed couple, what's the first thing that comes through your mind that's speaking of your heart? If it's immediately anger and disgust, that's speaking of your heart. If it's, I wonder if they're believers, that's speaking of your heart. We're in the South. We haven't fixed everything. I think the church has not done everything that we can do, that we should do, but we're definitely doing some things right. When I can ride down the road and I don't see any churches with the same denomination and same name and they're segregated just by skin color, I know that we fixed the issue. Until then, we need to keep on praying and we need to keep on allowing the Lord to change our hearts. Thank you.